Okay, recording now. We're good.
All right, let's do the clap.
Okay.
One, two, three. Perfect.
All right.
I'm kind of mad now that I don't have your terrible confession of your horrible sin on
audio recording. That's why I said it at the beginning, yes.
Which is an excellent way to begin this podcast.
Absolutely.
Hi, everyone. I'm Rick. You all know me because this is my podcast, and this is a stupid way to introduce myself. But I'm going to roll with it because I started it this way. I'm here with Tekking.
Hi.
You guys have probably heard of him before, but in case you haven't, go ahead and introduce yourself, Tekking.
Yeah, hi. Tekking 101. I am a One Piece YouTuber guy. That's what I do on the channel. Just have a new channel, though, all about Bleach stuff that I just started last week, so hopefully that'll do pretty well. But yeah, that's what I'm doing pretty much. Just YouTube and nice. Occasionally on Twitter, but not very much.
Well, Twitter's a
minimize place to be minimize Twitter as much as humanly possible. Yeah.
Understandable. Is it a new channel or is it like new stuff on the channel?
Yeah, so the thing is YouTube's really, I think the algorithm is really pushing to like one topic per channel. I with Bleach back in the anime, I decided to do, you know, Bleach episode breakdowns. And ever since I did that, views and subscribers have been way, way down on the main channel. And so I tried to like, all right, let's do a new channel. And I think that was the problem because today it's starting to go back up now that I'm not doing the Bleach stuff on the main channel anymore. So I don't know, man. It sucks that I have to break it up into a bunch of different channels, but
yeah, that's insane. Like you would think that YouTube would just be like, hey, here's how the algorithm works. Use it to your advantage.
Nobody,
we
I don't think,
to succeed.
I don't think even the people at YouTube understand the algorithm. The algorithm is this weird phantom force that we can't comprehend, but it influences us all, you know?
It's, have you ever played or heard of Warhammer 40K? It's like the
I've heard of it. I've never played it, though. Yeah.
The technology in that, like, no one knows how any of it works. They just, like, desperately put it together and hope that all of it, like, kind of functions and hangs together. And just when something breaks, they're just like, well, shit, guess we're fucked.
Well, that's it. Game over, yeah. That's kind of like the algorithm, yeah. Give it like 50 years, it'll develop into that probably, yeah.
Exactly. It'll become sentient and, mm-hmm. and just ruin all of our lives even more.
Yep.
So we're here, ostensibly at least, to talk about One Piece Film Red. I assume you've seen this one.
Yes, I've seen that one. So at the beginning, my great sin was last time I was on your podcast was to talk about Bleach Diamond Dust Rebellion. And I just remember that day, I completely forgot to watch the movie, and I didn't. And I BS'd my way through pretty much that entire discussion based on the fragments of what I could remember when I watched it, like, in high school. But
honestly, you were probably, like, 10 to 20 IQ points above me and Zen just because we had recently experienced
oh, God.
It. And so it dropped our intelligence down.
Nothing against you. It's just that, like, I forgot to watch that movie. And I remember there were, like, 3 hours I could have watched it before I did the podcast. And I'm like, I really don't want to, though.
Having seen it, I do not blame you in
no,
the least.
No.
There are no hard feelings here. It
but
was a
this
great
one,
podcast. I think it's still our most listened to right
oh,
now.
Oh, fantastic. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, with this one, I have seen Film Red twice. I saw it in the sub and I saw it in the dub when it came out. I've made several videos about it. I'm still going to make a video about all about Uta's character coming up, so I'll probably have to watch it a third time. So I know this one pretty well. Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. I have only seen it all the way through once. I watched a good chunk of it today.
Okay.
But the only place that I could find it was just a horrible fan sub that was like really badly put together, and it was based off like an in-theater thing. And so I was just like, okay, I'm going to scrub through this and like remind myself of all the stuff that happened and get through it that
way.
Was
it released in your area theatrically?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it released in my area about... I'd say about a month, maybe a month and a half ago, and I went to see it then. So it's still fairly fresh in my mind.
Yeah, I'm glad. This was the first One Piece movie that I think had, like, a wide release, because, like, I remember Stampede had a release in American theaters, mm-hmm. but it was, like, very sparse. I had to drive, like, 2 hours to find the theater, and mm-hmm. this one was just my local theater that was, like, in my town. So it was really nice. Convenient, and that's how I could watch it twice. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, what did you like have an opinion on which one was better? Do you generally enjoy subs better, or are you more of a dub guy?
I when I'm like just hanging out here, I'll usually do dub just because I can multitask and do other stuff like play a game or like mm-hmm. edit while it's because it's in my native language.
Right.
I this time around, I would say I honestly preferred the dub only because with the dub I could follow along a little bit easier, and there was actually a lot of stuff in the original, like, because I only watched it the first time and I'd never seen it before. The second time I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, I missed this, I missed that. Oh, okay. I get that scene now, makes more sense.
I can definitely see that, especially the scenes. It's hard to pay attention, especially since so much of this is basically like parts of this are almost music videos, essentially.
Exactly.
And so it's hard to pay attention to the music video and read the words of the songs that are going along with it. And it's not like those words are unimportant. They're very thematic and everything. So, like, you really want to be paying attention to both, and it's almost impossible to do.
So, in the English dub, it was interesting. They kept Otto singing in Japanese in the English dub.
Oh, okay.
But Amanda Lee, who's Amelie on YouTube, she's voiced Ota Hime in the Fishman Island arc, but also she voices Uta here, which is great that they had her. She did covers of all of Uta's songs on her channel, and they're incredible in English. I mean, Otto's amazing as well.
Spotify right now.
I have Otto's set list and also Amelie's also on there as
nice.
Well. And I wish That's they would awesome. Have included them in the dub, but they didn't. But you know, it's still amazing stuff.
It is what it is, yeah. I wonder if that was something like they were like, no, you have to put it in Japanese.
Maybe. But her covers did a great job. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'm excited to go listen to those. I didn't realize that she had done those. While I was listening to it today, I was like, you know who would be really good at covering these songs?
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah. I was so how much did you know, like, when you were going into the theater to watch this? Had you, like, read, like, reviews and everything and known all of it before? Or were you, like, reasonably fresh?
Given the fact that of what I do, I always, like, I treat more of, like, talking, reviewing One Piece as a job. And so I find that information out as quick as possible. So I read the spoilers for the new chapters. And I read the spoilers for when the movie released in August in Japan. I read through a basic plot synopsis. And I was like, okay, I know what happens. I know most of the stuff. The ending, I did not fully comprehend until the second time I viewed it, because the ending, I mean, I don't know if we're allowed to talk about spoilers here beginning. So
go for it.
I watched the ending in Japanese the first time I saw the movie, and I'm like, oh, okay, end of the movie, Uta is saved, she goes off with Shanks, Luffy's there, and then the ending credits seemed rather happy and fun, so I'm like, all right. Then I go home and review the whole movie, then 2 days later I go to see it in English, and at the end I was like, the fuck did Uta die? And I'm like, what the shit? And I had to go back and re-edit the end of the review because I'm like, I completely missed that.
Hey, guys, I kind of skipped something important.
No, that's 100% what I had to do. So, and it's so weird, like, the juxtaposition of the ending there, because I'm like, I didn't get it that she died. The implication was that she died. So I'm like, all right, well, that's one way to make sure she doesn't get referenced again, I guess. I don't know.
right, exactly. That's one thing I'm wondering about. Like, I don't know how to feel about her dying, because I kind of get it in the sense of, like, yeah, you kind of have to have this be a self-contained thing, and you don't want to, like, have to worry about, like, oh, is Uta going to have to show up, you know, in whatever final arc or whatever, because she's kind of an important character to Shanks and Luffy now.
Yeah, they introduced the concept of Shanks' daughter, and I'm like, if they just keep her for one movie and that's it, that'd be so weird, you know?
Exactly, yeah. And then they kind of back off on that as well by making her, like, a treasure chest baby, like apparently Shanks was.
Like Shanks was, which I'm like, okay, who is hiding all these babies in treasure chests?
Right? Like, then again, this is the One Piece world.
Yeah.
There's definitely someone who just goes around sticking babies in random treasure chests.
It's happened twice, which is not a lot, but is more than you would assume happens.
Exactly. I've got these two nickels now, though.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But no, yeah, like, so, and in the manga, there was, like, one shot of Uta in silhouette, like, in a chapter. So the implication was, like, and also, going back to Shiki from Strong World. So
exactly,
Shiki,
yeah.
All the events of Strong World, like, the actual movie of the Straw Hats meeting Shiki, that's not canon. Shiki still is canon, though, and his design might be a little different. Like, he might not have the steering wheel in his head in the actual manga, but he's probably going to show up at some point. So they could always redo Uta, like, oh, yeah, like, the whole thing with Top Musica and going on LGA, that didn't actually happen in the manga, but she is still a character that is around. Maybe.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I would almost prefer that just because I like her. Like,
yeah,
I was
yeah,
surprised
I do
by how much I appreciated her, because she is essentially the main character of this movie. Like, it's
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. In a lot of these, like, it's kind of difficult, I'm sure, to make a One Piece movie, because you have almost like 10 central main characters in the Straw Hat crew. And then you also have, like, villains and new people to introduce that way. So you're just doing this insane juggling act that, like, Oda has kind of mastered over the past 25 years of slowly adding one more ball to every arc that he does.
He's juggling like 37 balls at this point, you know, like
exactly. Yeah, for sure. It's insane that he has managed to pull it off as well as he has. But like when you go into and he's got a full like manga arc to handle all of that narrative weight. But when you go in to do a 2.5 hour movie or so, you know, that's just absurd that you would even attempt that. But a lot of times they manage to pull it off fairly well and give characters like the moments they need to like to like have a moment to shine, essentially.
Yeah, dude, I'm so happy with the way they utilized Uta here, especially coming off of Stampede, where Douglas Bullitt's character is paper thin in that movie. He's the big, strong, tough guy that punches stuff really hard. That's it. Mm-hmm. So with Uta, and that was part of Oda as well, because Oda was like, I'm tired of drawing old buff legendary guys. Can I just draw like a cute girl as the main character for this, please? And it's like,
yeah.
He went ahead and did it, and it's like, I feel so, there's, okay, because I'm going to do a whole breakdown of Uta's character, but part of it, and I guess I could get your opinion on it here, is there's a camp of people that are like, no, Uta was straight up, like, trying to, like, cause global genocide, she's a bad person, and other people, like, in the camp I'm in is just like, God, no, the circumstances that led Uta to that are not her own fault, for the love of God, you know what
for
I mean?
For sure, I am definitely in that camp. So, like, right before this, one of the things I did to prep for this is I listened to a couple of reviews. I was like, this is when I was like, oh, I don't want to like listen to these terrible subtitles for this entire movie. And so, like, let me go find some other stuff to refresh me. And I know you've hung out with Murphy Napier a couple times. And so,
yes. She actually helped out my charity drive a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So I listened to her, her One Piece, her Red review. And I really like that she kind of very much hammered on, like, Uta is not a person who is, like, has any right to be as mentally well as she is.
Oh,
like,
God,
she's definitely doing a horrifying and fucked up thing. But at the same time, she's only ever lived on one island, essentially, with this old man, this one person. And she's, like, grown up that way after having one of the most insanely traumatic experiences, like, imaginable, on top of realizing that that experience was actually at least in her head, her own fault.
Exactly.
Like, that is horrifying.
It is a lot of crap and we'll go more into it clearly because like, honestly, at the end of the movie, I'm like, no, this is like Shanks and Gordon's fault, like 100%. Like, Uta is, she was abandoned as a child. She spent her formative years, like, going through, you know how stressful puberty can be normally? She goes through this by herself, not a single other person her own age on this island. And then while that, she figures out, like, oh, I killed everybody on this island. That was me that did that. My dad abandoned me, and then the one piece of like positive influence for her is she discovers the live streaming Denden Mushis that just exist now, and she becomes a Twitch streamer, and she's like, oh, everybody in the world wants me to sing songs and they could be happy forever. Okay, I'll do that then. And it's like,
you can
understand how she's like, you know, how she arrived at that conclusion. She's not evil.
For sure. Uda, let me sit you down and talk to you for a minute about parasocial relationships.
Yeah, God damn Jesus. It, yes!
Yeah, no, like, and okay, so if I'm getting right down to it, like, every single One Piece villain that we've gotten, like, the backstory of has, like, horrible, tragic, you know, awful things that happened to them in their life. Like,
yes.
I mean, Doflamingo is one of the most horrifyingly evil characters.
First person I thought of was Doflamingo, yeah.
Exactly. And he had a genuinely horrifying childhood. Like, what he went through is horrible. The difference between the two characters, though, is that Doflamingo went and started doing stuff to make himself great and trying to, like, you know, do everything that he wanted. And basically, his end goals are selfish. Uta is an incredibly misguided person who is trying to use her powers to make the world as good a place as she possibly can. And that's the ultimate
from what she can understand. And it's so frustrating because I'm watching the movie and after analyzing it, I'm like, there's so many different ways, so many simple things that Gordon or Shanks could have done that would not have resulted in Uta's decision. Like, here's the thing. How come Shanks stops by the island once a year on her birthday just to say hey to her?
Right. Yeah.
Like,
super easy.
Yes,
no
super easy thing to do that probably would have not. What if Gordon took her to another town with people on it so she could play with people her own age?
Right.
And have, like, social relationships, you know? Like, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, like, at least with Luffy, you have the excuse of, like, it's at least to me pretty clear that what Shanks is doing is he is not putting his own shadow over Luffy. Like, I'm sure that Shanks grew up under the shadow of having been in the Pirate King's crew, and that has affected him in a lot of ways. And instead of forcing Luffy to go through that, he is very clearly letting Luffy build his own legend, build his own crew, build his own life without Shanks' involvement overshadowing all of that. And to me, that is a really good thing that Shanks has done. It's really sad that he didn't get to be there to see Luffy grow up, but at the same time, he's letting Luffy live his own life, and because Luffy is so freedom-oriented, that's a huge thing for him and something that's really good for him in particular. That's not Uta's story, though.
No, that's not Uta's story in the slightest, you know? And I could see, exactly. I could see Shanks. Look, okay, Shanks probably didn't have the best upbringing either. He was a treasure chest baby, so let's start with that.
Right.
And he was found by Roger. And I'm sure, like, at age 5, there were, like, giant sea kings attacking. They were, like, in the new world being attacked by giant right. monsters, right? So that's how Shanks grew up. And after Roger died, I think Shanks' impression was, like, let me try to, like, emulate Roger and become a great pirate just like he did.
Exactly.
And a lot of this stuff, he didn't know how to, like, respond to it and everything like that. But still, like, there's better choices he could have made here.
I also do wonder if there will, like, if we'll get revealed more about what Shanks was doing between, like, him leaving Luffy and all that. Because apparently, like, the implication that I've gotten over the years is not what I originally thought when I was reading the manga, which is that, like, Shanks was not that big a deal when he was, you know, hanging around with Luffy. At that time, I thought, okay, he's probably just a small-time pirate and all that. But apparently that's not the case, right? Like, you are clearly much more knowledgeable about One Piece. The implication I've gotten recently is that he was even then, like, a crazy big deal.
So when Shanks first met Luffy, okay, so he was not a Yonko at that point, but he had definitely made a name for himself in the world. He did not become a Yonko until I think 6 years after he met Luffy at Fuchsia Village. So he wasn't like the biggest name in the world or anything. But I think at that point, though, he did, because it was revealed with Film Red, I think when he met Luffy, he had a bounty of a billion. Which is a lot. It's really big. Yeah, not quite Yonko, but very close to it. Yeah.
Exactly. Didn't Luffy only cross a billion after the Whole Cake Island arc?
In that one? Yes.
Yeah. So, roughly speaking, because bounties do not, you know, equate across everything.
No.
But roughly speaking, in terms of, like, what Shanks had done that was important, although I guess he was a member of the Pirate King's crew. So
that, too.
That
and he was, unlike Buggy, he was well known to be a member of the Pirate King's crew. So that might be a contribute to the billion a little bit. Yeah.
That definitely could. I could see that. Maybe I'll kind of go along with that. But at the same time, like, they talked about how he and Hawkeye had a rivalry before that. So, like,
oh, yeah.
He was already dueling with the greatest swordsman in the world. Maybe he wasn't the greatest swordsman de facto at that.
Yeah,
point,
I've always been under the impression. I really hope we get to see that fight in a flashback at some point. But I was under the impression that it was one of those, the big duel, the last duel they had, that Whitebeard even said he witnessed, and it, like, was, like, insane. That was the event that made Mihawk the greatest swordsman in the world.
That
would have been interesting if that was the case. He might have been that before that, but yeah. I like to think Shanks and Mihawk have been dueling ever since they were in, like, their early 20s, though. I mean, or maybe even earlier. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would like that, too. I want them to have the same relationship of, like, Guy and Kakashi and Naruto.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Except a little more serious than that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But, yeah, so, like, it to me, it is, you know, I want to know more about Shanks, mainly because of this movie. Because, like, Oda has been very sparse with information about Shanks, even though he's such an influential character in the world and in the story. And this movie, it gave us, I think, some insights into his character that, like, this isn't just the way that he treated Luffy. He has a very loose grasp. Like, I feel like a lot of, there's going to be a lot of similarities, ultimately, between Luffy and Shanks in that they both value freedom so much. And I think maybe too much in some ways.
Yeah, it's a little bit of, like, I don't know. It's like Shanks is supposed to be a father to Uta. Very different dynamic to Luffy, by the way. And in the situation with her, it's like there was that moment in the movie where she wanted to, you know, travel with him. But, you know, he's thinking maybe it would be better if you stayed on LG and studied music and, like, live out, you know, your life and be free and all that stuff. And, you know, so I think he's conflicted with a lot of this. I'm not saying that, like, Shanks is like, you know, should he know better? I don't know, because the way he got raised also, it's kind of like a vicious circle kind of situation.
True. Yeah. But he is the adult there.
He is the adult here. Yeah, there's better stuff he could have done. Because so this disaster occurs. He and the crew defeat Top Musica, and he's like, okay, I'm going to leave Uta here on the island, which is already bad decision number one. I don't know why he would arrive at that. And then he's like, I'm not going to explain anything that happened to Uta. Also, bad excuse. It wasn't Uta's fault. She was possessed by a music demon. I don't know why she would think that that was her fault. You know, and then like, oh, I'm just going to leave. And the reason I'm not taking Uta is because the Marines are coming after us. I'm like, the Marines are always coming after you. You're already pirates. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I am of two minds about it, because I can definitely imagine a scenario where he's like, okay, if I take her with me, not only will she be defined by this thing that she did as a child and had no control over, she might not see it that way. And so if I give her the excuse that I'm the worst person imaginable, she will sever ties with me, which will be better for her because she won't spend her life chased by these monsters. She won't have to live with the guilt of what she sort of, in a way, did in this situation. Like, there is an argument to be made that, like, had everything gone the way that Shanks imagined it goes, Uta could have been a happier, better person for
it. I mean, I would argue about that, you know, going that route with it and making Shanks and the crew like the worst possible people to Uta, that would still horribly traumatize her. And it did.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was her. Imagine your whole family that you've known your entire life just abandons you one day. And it's what? So it actually became the worst, where she felt that they abandoned her. And then she later finds
after
out
murdering everyone.
Yeah. Then she later finds out that she was the one, because she finds the record of the visual Denden Mushi of like the record of her wrecking the town. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, oh, not only did they abandoned me because they're scared of me because I killed everybody. That's why they did that. And so, yeah, that like I said, they could have stayed in contact in some way just for Shanks to let her know, like, I still love you. You're still my daughter. Mm-hmm. You know,
don't go insane and try to take over the entire world using your incredible singing powers.
This was like there was one point in the movie where they mentioned like, what was it, like 70% of the world could be killed by this ability. I'm like, good lord, 70%?
Right? Like, imagine like anyone. Taylor Swift can't get those numbers.
No, absolutely not.
70% of the world to watch her live stream.
Uta's like the only streamer in all of One Piece. She's the only one. She invented it, you know?
yeah, for sure. I do love that gradual buildup of her character, though, because I think that it does a very good job of letting us have, like, okay, so, like, if you just lay out, like, what Uta is on the table, she sounds like a fan fiction character.
Oh, 100%, like, she does.
She had this relationship with Luffy. She was, like, his little brother, and she beat him all the time in all of their fights. She is, like, Shanks' daughter, you know, she's got these incredibly broken powers.
It's like some high school student decided to rewrite all of One Piece with their OC, and it's just like, okay, exactly. So at the beginning, Uta and Luffy were best friends, and she's Shanks' daughter, and it's like, it does kind of read like that a little bit. Yeah,
it does. But like, I am very impressed that they managed to take all of those tropes and use them in the way that in theory that they should be, because there is a reason that everyone goes to those things. You want to kind of have, you want to build those emotional connections between these characters as quickly as
possible.
Did
you see the episodes of the anime that are the tie-ins for this?
Oh, no, I didn't.
So there's two of them, and they're really cool because they actually show Uta and Luffy hanging out on Fusha, like, together as kids. So it expands on that a lot more. I think those episodes were handled really well. Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to check that out. Yeah. But like, you want to build that relationship as quickly as possible, especially when you've only got 2 hours to do it. And making them more or less family is a strong way to do that, especially when you already know that, like, Luffy makes friends very quickly.
Oh, absolutely.
Very easily.
Yeah.
And he has these bonds that, like, pretty consistently over the story, even if he has not seen someone in, like, a decade or more, or years, you know, whatever, their relationship seems to go, like, exactly back to where it was. I mean, I think to like, Brooke, and, like, he was adventuring with the Straw Hats for, like, 3 weeks, and then he gets shot to the other side of the planet and is like, no, 2 years from now, I'm meeting
Dude,
these guys
that,
again.
That's what
awesome.
I always found that funny as in One Piece. Like, you know, Brook has only been a member of the crew for like 2 weeks at best, and he already gets separated mm-hmm. from them, but he's still dedicated to it. And mm-hmm. yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's something that I love about the One Piece world is the strength of the bonds that exist inside it. Like, it's just, and it's the fact that they're believable. It, for whatever reason, in the One Piece world, I believe that in a way that it is difficult to do with most stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so that works to Uta's advantage because you can kind of build that into her character a lot more easily, I think, than you could say, like, if you found out that, like, Ichigo had this friend that was, you know, a Quincy way back when and beat him and all this stuff.
Yeah,
and all,
yeah.
Like, it would not work as well.
He had a friend that was actually a secret Aronkar when Ichigo, Totsuki was actually in Aronkar. And,
exactly.
Yeah, no, I get it. And you know what? A beautiful way they handle this in the movie is, if you listen to Uta's songs, that actually serves, and it makes sense because she doesn't really know how to express her emotions because of the messed up, you know, situation. So she mm-hmm. expresses all of her emotions through song. And so if you go through her set list, she starts with like New Genesis and I'm Invincible, songs that are very high energy and like, you know, I'm going to save the world. I'm going to help everybody out. Then there's Backlight, which shows like her rage and anger at Shanks. And then it mm-hmm. all devolves and eventually it gets to Top Musica, which is just like her just venting everything, all of the emotions she cannot convey properly come out in that song.
Yeah, yeah. The music in this is extremely impressive because if you go to like a Disney movie, you expect the songs to be at least pretty good to actually genuinely great, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you go to a shonen anime like movie, you don't tend to expect that. Like, I'm not going to Dragon Ball Z superhero or whatever and expecting, like, oh, the thing I'm really here for, the music is going to kick ass.
Piccolo and Goku do a little dance number. It's a Dragon Ball musical. It's fantastic. Yeah,
exactly. That's not what you think of when you go to that kind of movie, but they really did a very impressive job with not only nailing the music and, like, just on a, like, technical level. Like, these songs are absolute bops. They are so fun just
Otto
to
is an
to.
Incredible singer. Like, I've never listened to her stuff before, but, you know, she's phenomenal.
She's got such range. Like, there's a lot of, and I don't just mean, like, in terms of, like, what octaves and stuff she can hit. I mean, just, like, in the way that she can convey her voice, it is just, it's very impressive the amount of emotion she can pour into these songs and switch from, like, one high level to, like, a much sadder level, like, very quickly in that kind
of
thing.
Oh, yeah, and she can scream, like, really well, too, in these ones.
Yeah, she can.
But... Oh, there was another point that I had that I completely forgot. Go ahead and talk. I'll think about it.
I think that's really cool that they did such a good job of hitting all of those notes and making that a central part of the movie without making it feel like that was something that they didn't put as much effort into or something that can't stand up to like really cool fight scenes.
Oh, exactly.
If you go to it. If you, especially like after like One Piece, Stampede. Yeah. Stampede had some of the best anime fight scenes I have seen in a long time. Like they were just a blast to watch. And that's a big thing that I come to One Piece for is he does a very good job of creating fun fight scenes in especially in animated form. I think the anime does a better job a lot of times with these than even the manga does.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just because of the nature of it. This one's really cool, mm-hmm. though, because it's in this dream world, so you could kind of just do even more crazy stuff with it, yeah.
Yeah, you can break all the rules, and there's a lot of danger that comes with that from a storytelling perspective, because while it seems like the ability to break rules is fun, a lot of times the rules are your structure. They are the things that you use to create the story around, and so if you're constantly breaking them, it's very easy to lose the basically the bones of your story because there's nothing that the audience can grab onto mm-hmm. to hold firm to.
The thing I was going to say, I remembered it finally, is that and this was actually the song stuff. I loved it, but it was a very divisive thing, I remember. I kind of figured out right from the trailer and the whole point of the movie and Uta's there and I'm like, and Otto is in it. I'm just like, okay, this is going to be a very music heavy, you know, film. And I even said in the review, I'm just like, hey, some people might not like that, especially, and it might not even be your type of music. You know, if you're not into like Japanese, like J-pop, like idol kind of music, then you're probably not going to like this movie too much. And I did see a few people complaining about it, like there was too many songs or whatever. I thought there was like the appropriate number. I thought, because like I said, the music serves to convey Uta's character. So yeah, but it was a little polarizing to some people, I think.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that it would be, although people who don't like J-pop are just wrong.
Oh, exactly, 100%. But you know, we're not here to talk about that today.
Right.
Well,
right,
we can.
Course.
I mean,
everyone knows that. We don't need to belabor the obvious, though.
No, not of course. Now, those that like modern country are the real...
the real monsters. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Can you imagine if like they started all these songs and instead of J-pop, it was just like the most southern country music you could imagine?
I'm now just picturing Uta, you know, wearing a cowgirl hat and just like, yeah, like the country,
Oda has
the country,
that, I'm sure,
country pop music that exists in current. Yeah.
The one thing that I'm kind of sad on the musical angle is that, like, I kind of wish they had given Brooke a little bit of time to shine specifically with her.
I was pissed off about that because as soon as I heard it was a musical movie, I'm like, okay, Brooke, can we at least have a moment where Brooke and, like, Uta do, like, a duet together? Like, Brooke takes out the guitar and they sing. And
there's
one scene in the movie where his musical like knowledge helps them get out of the bind spell thing, but that's it. He doesn't use anything else. He doesn't even have a moment where he sings. And I thought that was a wasted opportunity there. Yeah,
absolutely. Like that is a huge missed opportunity. But just the last thing I'll say about the whole musical angle is that something that I am very impressed with the films of One Piece since specifically Strong World. I really like that they've not tried to do the same thing over and over again. Like none of these movies since then have not been their own unique thing in a way that most anime movies don't do. Like One Piece Z is a very like emotional, heartfelt movie about a very sad story about the state of this world and like what it's driven some of the best people in it to become. Like that's a fascinating thing on its own. You've got Stampede, which has a lot of that emotion to it, but mostly is just an excuse to be like, hey, do you want to see a really, really big guy beat the shit out of the strongest people in the world?
And it was like, Stampede, I kind of forgive it because it was like the 20-year anniversary of the anime. And so they were just like, let's just make a movie where all the warlords get, not the warlords, all the supernovas get together and just, have this big epic melee. And then Crocodile's there and Sabo's there and Boa's there. And it's just like, okay, yeah, sure. I mean, it's a big bombastic thing. It's,
Exactly.
Probably out of all the recent One Piece movies, because I've seen all of them and obviously the ones that came out since Strong World are like the ones that are the biggest budget and the ones that are mostly regarded. Strong World would probably be my favorite, closely followed by Z. But this one, Film Red, I might be up there too. I have to kind of wait a while to see where I'm going to place it. But it's
hard to place because it is a genuinely good movie. But and like both the strength and failing of it almost is Uta, because Uta is so good at it. And I really enjoy seeing her evolve and like get revealed as a character throughout the entire movie. But because she can't continue to be a piece of the world, it's almost as if like instead of Vivi becoming, you know, saying like she'll still be a Straw Hat and then coming up later in the story again and getting called back to every now and then, it's almost as if like they had just like left her there on the dock and then never referenced her in any way again.
Exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it in some ways makes it even sadder that she dies at the end of the movie. And at the same time also makes it like, okay, but you kind of just did that so you wouldn't have to deal with this, right? Like that's the real reason that it happened. And so it's got this pull and push to it that I will probably bring it down to some degree when I'm thinking about my ratings, but I mean, it's definitely going over Film Gold because I was...
Yeah, it's definitely going over Film Gold. And I mean, Gil Tesoro was like okay as a villain. I mean, he had an all right backstory, I guess, to you know why he was there. It just kind of was more standard. Shiki was way better and Zephyr was great. Like if they want to incorporate Z into like the main story, that would have been fun. But I don't think that they could do that. Uta, I was thinking about ways they could incorporate Uta into it. And I honestly think the best way, because they did have like a silhouette of her in the manga. So I'm thinking, all right, I guess you could do a thing where she was the musician of the Red Hair Pirates and maybe she did meet Luffy at Fusha. but she left before the whole events with, like, Shanks losing the arm and Luffy getting the gum-gum, you know, all that stuff, and a hat and everything. And just like, oh, yeah, we dropped her off on a – it wasn't Elgia, but, it, I mean, you could still call it Elgia, just not – it.
Right.
Because I liked it because Elgia is, like, this island. It's basically like Hogwarts except for music. It was the kind of impression I got for it. And
it just,
like,
seems delightful.
Yeah, because there's an island of everything in One Piece, so this is the island of music. And I'm like, that's cool. So maybe she could still be there, and she's more socially adjusted. Oh, by the way, something else we forgot. She's also on freaking uppers, like, you know, mushrooms the entire time, where she's on, like, trucker pills. She hasn't slept in, like, a week. And she's also incredibly socially maladjusted and major mental issues. And this is where
this
she's
poor
at.
Girl.
Yeah. She, yeah. You cannot call her evil with all the shit that she's tacked onto. Yeah,
exactly. 100%. 100%. Like, I almost, like, wonder, like, okay, Uta, you didn't have to start the mushrooms, like, a week before the whole thing started. You could have just, like, you know.
They say, like, oh, yeah, she's going to die. Oh, okay, when's she going to die from the lack of sleep? Oh, about, like, 3 hours. I'm like, what the shit?
How long has she been awake? Yeah, exactly.
How long has she been popping these mushrooms? Uta, please. Oh, by the way, Gordon is no help with any of this. Gordon is even worse than Shanks, honestly.
Gordon is... Like, I am mildly sympathetic to Gordon because he also
got
a rough deal in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Everybody he ever knew died. I mean, that is rough. Yeah.
And then he took care of the kid that, like, is ostensibly caused it. Like, he's doing his best. Man's just a moron is all.
Oh, he's just an idiot. Yeah. He's just like, let's see where. Okay. First of all, the fact that Uta stayed on the island with the sealed piece of hell music is the worst idea ever. So it's like, because Uta has traveled around the world with Shanks. This was never an issue. Mm-hmm. So it's like the Taunt Musica only affects those that ate the Uta no Mi. So it's like, okay. Right. Keep Taunt Musica and the bearer of the Uta Minomi away from each other as much as possible. It's like, well, let's just abandon her on the island with the music. I mean, what can happen, right?
What's the worst that could happen?
And then Gordon,
it's not like she'll destroy the entire world.
And the funniest thing, though, is like, okay, you could, and they could have written this in as like, Taunt Musica is this magic piece of sheet music. You know, you can't destroy it, you can't burn it, or it magically reconstitutes itself. But they didn't even go that route with it. Maybe it did do that, but Gordon's thing was like, I'm a music lover. I couldn't destroy it. I'm like, Gordon, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Gordon, you're a moron. I'm sorry. Like,
well, think of it this way, though, Tekken. If you had the entire, like, set of One Piece, and it was the only set of all of One Piece in the world, and it was, you know, possessed by the ultimate spirit of
evil. Yeah, it's like anybody that reads this One Piece in this context might end, like, destroying the world. I'd be like, well... gonna have to destroy it. I'm sorry.
you're a monster taking
it. Or at least like not having to destroy it, just lock it up and then take Uta away from the island. You know?
Right, right. There's only one kid that can't read One Piece in this.
Yeah, there's only one piece that can't read One Piece. It'll be fine, you know?
Let's just get him away. Nah, it'll be fine. Let's just leave him alone with it a lot.
I mean, and also, Taunt Musica is the real villain of the movie, and it's just it's a straight-up demon from hell. I mean, that's pretty much what the thing is.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting to me that they decided to go such a, like, it's weird to say supernatural in One Piece, but, like, more supernatural than One Piece usually gets.
Yeah,
because you know what I mean?
The whole thing with gods and devils, I will say in the fifth movie with Zoro and the Cursed Sword, they actually have a whole plot line with that where, like, actual gods are real. And they made this sword, and it's now in the world, and they're like, oh, I'm okay, it's a movie, you could kind of get away with it, you know?
Exactly, yeah, that's very true. You're allowed to do a little more silliness like that in movies. So, what did you think of how much involvement we got with Shanks? Because, like, this was kind of heavily advertised as almost like the Shanks movie.
When I first read the spoilers of this movie, it was somebody that had watched the film in Japan, and he was doing like an AMA kind of thing on Reddit. And one person asked him, you know, how much of Shanks is in the movie? And I think he said like about half. And I watched it, and I'm like, closer to a third.
At best,
he shows up in the very last act. I kind of assume they would do that. He's in flashbacks, of course, but you know, we're not here to see Shanks in flashbacks. We want to see Shanks doing shit.
Or at least doing new shit.
He's doing
the flashback. Yeah, the flashback stuff is fine, but it is like an extended version of Luffy's childhood.
Exactly.
And, like,
we already know this part of Shanks' past. We already know that. Mm-hmm. If you're going to show us flashbacks with Shanks, show us Shanks fighting Mihawk or something. Show us, you know what I mean?
Exactly. All the hype shit you could do. Yeah.
Exactly. But, okay, they do the thing where they show up at the very end. I am happy that they do showcase Shanks' abilities. They do Conqueror's Haki, which is so strong it knocks out even Vice Admirals, which was insane. Like, pretty much the only people that could stand up after that were Kizaru and Fujitora. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense that Shanks could do that. They expanded a lot more on the Red Hair Pirates. Hongo is the doctor, how they fight. Howling Gab has like that energy beam attack out of his mouth. I'm like, okay, that's fun. Because I think like Oda had to do that, because it's like, all right, we're getting into the final saga in the manga. I haven't really showcased what any of the Red Hair Pirates can do, so here you go. This is what they could do.
I did really enjoy that. I also really liked that, like, Yasop was like, I'm not ready to meet Usopp at this point. And I'm like, yeah, you're not ready to meet Usopp. That's kind of a thing that I've been waiting to see for, I don't know, 2 decades at this
point?
Well,
that was in the manga, I think he said that. In the movie, he's just kind of like, yeah, my son's a bit of a coward, but he'll figure it out. And then after Usopp figures it out, he's like, oh, hey there, son, how you doing? He's like, I can see my through my dad's eyes. And, like, that was a cool moment. I like that, yeah.
It is definitely a cool moment. I am a little bit happy that this is, like, sort of not canon, at least.
Oh, yeah, definitely. 100%. I'm glad that, yeah.
Because I want that moment to be a big deal, because, like, I need the reveal of, like, exactly what was going on to like, have some impact of, like, I will go along with the idea of, like, Yasop needed to go to sea to be an adventurer because that's just who he is or something like that, because that just fits so well in the general One Piece world. Uh-huh. Like, adventuring is the thing.
Romance Dawn. There you go. It's like, like, I want to go to sea because it's a romantic lifestyle of adventure and all that stuff. And that's the theme of the story. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that Usopp being someone whose entire ambition is to become a great warrior of the sea, like that will fit well with him. You know?
Yes. And it's important to mention, I mean, in some way you could look at it like this, but like Usopp is not necessarily trying to be like his dad. It's that he wants to be a brave warrior of the sea, and his dad is just an example of that. But Usopp wants to be his own kind of brave warrior, like his own braveness. You know what I mean? His own courage.
Yeah. It's interesting to me that Usopp, I think, clearly would have at least some like, he's not like Luffy.
No,
like Luffy not
no.
giving a shit about who his dad is or any of that makes perfect sense to me. Like, that's just who
he wasn't raised in that environment. Yeah, he just doesn't care about Dragon or his mom, really. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's just not important to him, and I can see it becoming important to him once he meets him. Maybe he has some kind of connection to him then, but like, I don't think it's ever going to be something that like Luffy is. He's not going to become someone's like, oh, my dad is the world government's greatest enemy.
Yeah,
I must destroy the
world government. It's not like Gon from Hunter x Hunter, where it's like, man, my dad left me to go be a hunter. Being a hunter must be great.
God, fucking. Yeah. Like, I occasionally will see like lists of like who's the worst anime dad, and it'll have like Goku and Endeavor and Naruto, and then like Ging will be on there, and I'm just like, Ging does not belong on this list with these guys.
No,
these guys are not great all the time. Endeavor, fuck you, you're a piece of shit a lot of the time, but like Ging, eat a dick, dude.
Like, if I was gonna pick out of that list of like worst anime fathers, a lot of people, like, Goku is just unattentive. He's just not around a lot.
At worst,
you know. Endeavor straight up, like, you know, spousal abuse and child abuse. Like that, and Horikoshi handles that extraordinarily well in that story of Endeavor's character, and that was like a whole thing. I made videos about that. You know, how that's handled. And it's like, does he deserve redemption? Well, it's kind of up to you, the viewer.
But at least like he is actively attempting to do it in his situation is the best way that he can. He is accepting that he is a horrible person who will probably never be forgiven. Like all of that, it's very maturely handled.
Yes.
Gene is a piece of shit.
Gene is a piece. I did a video about Gene and Yasop and which one was the shittier dad. This was a few years ago. I can't remember who I decided on was the worst. I don't know. Here's a question I've always had involving Yasop, though. Does Yasop know his wife is dead?
Ooh,
because it happened a long time ago, but he hasn't been home in a long time. You know what I mean? And he hasn't talked to Usopp at all since he left.
That's true.
So,
but I have to figure that he must, because like it's
you
not.
You think so, right? Yeah.
In a world that is as interconnected as One Piece is, like if there were not these magical snails, which is an actual sentence that I'm saying right now, but if there were not
Rick, they're not magical snails, they're psychic snails. Come on, okay, they're psychic. All right.
These scientific wonder snails.
There you go.
If they did not exist to give people video calls across the entire, if they could not stream using these snails, maybe I would be like, yeah. yeah, he hasn't been there. You know, it's a situation like maybe he sends back money every now and then.
I don't think he does.
I don't think he does either.
Yeah, yeah, no. I honestly don't. He hasn't contacted Usopp at all in like 10 years. So, yeah. You know, he might know. I don't know. We'll wait to see. It would be so awkward as hell, though, if Usopp meets his dad and they hug and they're like, "Dad, son." And then it's like, "So how's your mom doing?" And Usopp's like, well,
not
Dad, I mean, well, she's a little bit under the weather. She's about 6 feet under the weather, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Yeah. What if he just lied to her? She's great.
She's doing fantastic.
Awesome. She's got this goldfish that's gigantic, dude. Yeah. You wouldn't believe it.
But, yeah, I mean, like, I'm glad. Okay, so Shanks is here. Yasop's here. So they do stuff with Shanks and Luffy. And you know, Yasop and Usopp. I like that Shanks technically does meet Luffy in this movie. He's unconscious and in a coma at the time. I mean, like, Shanks meets Luffy here. You know, right, he's unconscious. Yeah. And, you know, Uta's, like, straight up about to stab and gouge out his heart, which is another dark moment in the movie.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But
I do also like that I like that they threaded the needle well between like him and Luffy getting to have this fight with Top Musica and not actually having the meeting that they are kind of destined to have at some point.
Yeah,
like, that's a big part of the
series.
That's
the thing. Like, I was like, when this movie was announced as Film Red and Shanks was going to be an integral character, I was like, how are they going to do this? Because like, I honestly thought at the beginning, what if it's just an entire movie about Shanks in the past and the Straw Hats aren't even in it? Because like,
I would love that.
That was one of my first ideas for it, and I would love that. Because even when a movie happens, like they're okay. You know, demons and stuff are real. You know, the whole thing with like Stampede or whatever, Film Gold. All right, fine. There's still limits to what you're allowed to do. It's not like we could do a One Piece movie where they find the One Piece and be like, well, it's non-canon. The actual One Piece will be in the manga. No, you can't do that.
What if they did that though? And then in that movie, and only that movie, they did I guess the One Piece was just for the friendship we made along the way.
Oh, by the way, okay, a couple of things. Number one, they already did that. They did that, not the One Piece, but in the first One Piece movie, the first one they ever did back in the year 2000 or whatever, the ending of that movie is they find a great treasure, and the treasure was just, it was the journey you made along the way. Yeah,
exactly.
So if you want that paint by numbers, cliche as fuck answer to the One Piece, go watch the first movie. There you go.
Yes.
The second thing is with Stampede, when they had the Laugh Tail log pose, the eternal pose, Oda was like, I'm really kind of like doing that as a plot of a movie, but like, all right, it's the 20th anniversary. I guess I'll be all right with it. But he was kind of on the fence about making that the plot point, you know?
Yeah. I'm happy about that. Like that's a good thing for him to be that close to the chest with it, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't want to, obviously. And even during the flashback stuff with Odin and Wano, he was like, I'm really careful here. I don't want to accidentally show or give hints at what the One Piece is. Can you imagine if he's like, oh shit, I left a hint right there in the background. Everyone can see what it is now. You know?
Exactly. And I love that because Oda has always been so meticulous with like what he lays out and things that he will drop years in advance. Like, it's still crazy to me that Kaido is first mentioned like all the way back in the Halloween arc, the
Thriller Bark. No,
yeah,
it's even before that.
Then.
It's Okay. I
think that's the first time he's mentioned by name.
Yeah. That's the first time he's mentioned by name. We see the silhouettes in After Enies Lobby when Garp shows up and he's like, there are the four emperors, and we see Shanks, Whitebeard, and then we see a silhouette of Big Mom and Kaido. They don't look anything like, well, Big Mom's kind of does, but Kaido doesn't look anything like he ended up looking later in the series. Yeah, he's name dropped by Moria during Thriller Bark. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's like a full decade before he like actually shows up in the manga. Like,
oh, it's wild.
It's crazy to me.
Vegapunk's the same way, where Vegapunk is first mentioned in like 06. And you know, here we are in 2022. Like it's finally
getting to see that Einstein looking motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It's so nuts because imagine being in 2006 and taking a time machine 10 years in the future to 2016 and being like, all right, so Vegapunk's revealed, right? And I'm like, nope. I'm like, are you serious? All right, another 10 years into the future.
We're just now there. Yeah,
we're just
exactly.
Now there, exactly. Oh my god.
Oh man.
What else?
Okay, I gotta know real quick.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
What do you think of Vegapunk's design?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah.
You love it?
Absolutely. Yeah, if spoilers don't matter here.
No, go for it.
I love the fact that Oda decided, like, okay, we're not just gonna give him one design, we're gonna give him seven. I'm like, perfect, yeah. Great.
That's the most Oda thing ever.
There was a lot of theories of like, oh, he's gonna be really cool, or he's gonna be really dorky, or he's gonna be a robot, he's gonna be a cyborg, mm-hmm. He's gonna be a woman, and all of that stuff we get with the satellites.
It's all true, every single version.
But I'm happy with how that he stuck to his chest and did just a inspiration from Albert Einstein, which is that's yeah. Like a typical Oda fashion. Mm-hmm. The tongue thing, I thought, like, it's goofy, but it's Oda goofy. It's One Piece goofy.
Exactly.
It's how it works. Literally having the giant brain that gets bigger when he, you know, accrues knowledge. I'm like, all this stuff works great for Vegapunk's character. To the point where when Vegapunk first showed up and he talked about the giant head and things, I was just like, yeah, that's just his body. He's like, oh no, I have a devil fruit that does that. I'm like, oh, sure, I guess. But if Oda would have just drawn him with the giant head, I would have bought that 100%. Like, it's like fine. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But I love, is. And also, as a tie back to Film Red, there's even a reference to the SSG in this movie when
is there?
Ucha's just, yeah, when she's walking on the beach and she finds the video streaming snails, they have SSG written on them, which doesn't really make any sense because this is like, you know, years, but it's like 2 years before this or whatever, before the SSG existed.
Right.
But I see how they tied it in because they connected back to the anime and the current manga.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Vegapunk that. Invented Twitch snails. So there we go. Yeah, there you go.
That is such a strange sentence. None of those words are in the Bible.
Yep. Nope. No, it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and God Usopp there decreed that Twitch shall be streamed on psychic snails. Yeah.
It was a very strange sentence up until a couple years ago, honestly.
Yep.
No one
knew
what he was talking about.
I love how One Piece can just string these sentence like garbage, like sentence salads together, and they. It doesn't make sense, but it does make sense. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. I think sort of the last thing that I want to talk about is what do you think of it having such a short glimpse of Gear 5 in this movie?
Oh, yeah. That was a big one because of, like, it's not in the anime yet. And it's mm-hmm, like, okay, mm-hmm. But that is the biggest thing. Like, every One Piece fan lost their shit when Gear 5 happened. I mean, that was the most popular chapter review of this year easily. Just for me and everybody was. I mean, it's crazy. So it's like,
absolutely
okay, is Gear 5 going to be in this? And I thought it just that wasn't. And then they do the glimpse, and I'm like, okay. In fact, I have a theory that there was maybe more Gear 5 in this. They maybe animated a little bit more, but maybe they cut it short because they didn't want to spoil it. So there's that one silhouette of it, and then you see the back of it when Luffy is with Shanks, and that's it. So I'm like, all right, because you want to save that for the anime when he actually uses it against Kaido.
You really do, especially since, like, this most recent, like, Wano's arc has had such good animation. Like, every week it feels like I'm seeing just crazy stuff being put on Twitter, and it just looks so gorgeous, which is nice after, like, I mean, I'm going to be honest, for, like, the last few years before that,
so
One Piece kind of looked like shit.
The anime is up and down. They always change, you know, directors and different styles and all that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I mean, people will complain about anything, so right now the big complaint is, like, there's too many auras. Characters have weird Kaioken Super Saiyan auras. And I love how there was the guy that actually, one of the guys that animates that responded to on Twitter with like, oh, just because you said that, 10 times more aura. Next episode, Luffy's going to be like Kaioken times 20 Super Saiyan Blue. It's going to be nuts. I like the aura. It's anime. It's fucking anime. Characters are supposed to have auras and really epic, cool attacks and shit. You know?
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Like if this is where we had, like if this had been in the Enies Lobby.
Enies Lobby or Alabasta. Like, no.
Yeah.
But, like, at this
like,
point, Luffy deserves a Super Saiyan aura. Yeah.
Exactly. We're at the pinnacle of One Piece. Auras make sense with Haki. I'm down with it.
I'm fine with it.
It's awesome.
It's fine.
Exactly.
You know, it's cool. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite part of the movie, Rick?
Oh, my favorite part. My favorite part of this movie is probably just the music. I mean, we talked about it a lot, but the music is just, it's so good. There's just so many different like levels to the music, and it really works. And the music video scenes are so much fun to watch and just like pick out for details and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's just those are the things that I think will stick with me the most. If I was gonna pick a least favorite thing, since we're almost
go
doing
ahead.
The usual style, this my least favorite thing is probably It's probably Shanks, and that's not because Shanks is a
How dare you? You're not a real One Piece fan. How dare you?
It's that the film has his like fucking eye thing on its like red skull, yeah, you know, thing. It's got his mark on it, and it's not his fucking movie. Like, he's in it, and he's got a bigger part in it than he's had in anything One Piece related in like years.
Oh, this is the most Shanks does ever. Like, this is more than anything. Yeah.
But it's still fucking nothing.
Yep.
So, like, don't tell me this is the Shanks movie and then not give me Shanks' daughter movie.
I was, when it was announced, One Piece Film Red, and Shanks is right there, his scar is in the title, I'm like, I hope they don't do a marketing bait and switch with this. I really hope they don't.
They did
just enough where you can't say that, like, Shanks wasn't in this movie or he wasn't integral. Now, he was integral.
Right.
But we know what you guys did, all right? You
exactly.
know, we're aware of what you did. It's 100%. Like going to see One Piece, you know, film Whitebeard. And it's like, yeah, right. Whitebeard's like in the final scene, but like, you know.
It turns out it's about Weevil the entire time.
It's about Weevil the entire time. It's like, we know what you guys did. Come on.
But yeah, like that real, like what you said about it being a movie about Shanks' life, that would have been incredible. Like, give us all that backstory there. You could expand on it more in the manga if you wanted to, but like, here's the like big chunks of it. That'd be so cool.
It goes back to the
My Hero Academia thing when they showed, like, one of the movies showed young All Might for a little while, and then you watch the movie and like, that's basically all the young All Might you get is what's in the fucking trailer. And I'm like, no, give me the thing that I want, you assholes.
I hate that when movies will take the most exciting part of the movie and just be like, first of all, kind of spoilers, but also just like, you know, here's the best part of the movie in the trailer, and then you go see the movie. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, that's a tactic people have used in movies for like literally like 60 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, ever since going back to the old days, they do that.
For sure.
By the way, go back and watch some older movie trailers from like the 80s. Like, I watched the Nightmare on Elm Street movie trailer recently, and they just straight up spoiled the movie. Like, But
the worst one out there is Terminator 2, because like,
if you
go into Terminator 2, it is very clear that it's supposed to be like a surprise that he's actually the good guy. And then it's just like, nope, guess what? Terminator's here and he's going to help save the day.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. So people have done that forever. And I was like, you know, if they did, because I thought, okay, Oda's running out of time, not running out of time, but we're in the final saga now. You know, I don't know how much more of One Piece he's going to write or whatever. He did release a thing at Jump Fest recently where he says, hey guys, don't freak out. I still got a lot of story left. But I'm thinking like a good way of handling this is just cover Shanks's backstory in the movie to kind of make up for the 20 years of lack of one. And then we can expand on that more in the manga. And that's obviously not what we got.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But even so, I still think this is a movie is a blast to watch. Like, it's such an experience. I almost wish that I could like find a way to recommend the theater experience of this, because there's not a lot of movies I think that are better in the theater. But I think this one really does benefit from just having the giant screen, the blasting music.
That's another thing too. This was because there was scenes at the beginning with New Genesis when she's dancing around and all the kind of crap is flying around. I'm thinking, wow, there's a lot of stuff going on here. This should be in IMAX. It was in IMAX, so a lot of those scenes probably looked really like way better in IMAX.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm sure that it did. But like, even if you can just watch it on your home TV, like I would recommend it. Like, sit down, take a couple hours and watch it if you're a One Piece fan. You will not be disappointed by it if you know what you're going in to get.
Yeah. Just understand it's there's really going to be a lot of music and,
exactly.
Yeah. But that's the main focus of the movie. Yeah.
Right. So I'll give this one, I'll give it 4 out of 5, Twitch snails. It's a blast. Check it out. Like,
okay. I would give it,
you gotta give your favorite and least favorite thing first.
Oh, okay, that's right. Okay,
you don't want to give spoilers here.
Oh, right, absolutely.
they might know you don't like the movie beforehand.
Okay, yeah, true. Okay, my favorite thing about the movie, I would just probably say Uta's character in general. I think, Oda said, you know, I want to make a whole new character that's not some legendary old guy, and it was a breath of fresh air. Like, it really was, especially after Stampede with Bullet. And I'm like, okay, so Uta's character is great. She's very traumatized and has a lot of issues to work through, really needs therapy, and she dies at the end, which is like the worst possible outcome from all this. But her character was very unique. Worst thing about the movie, I would just say all of the things that I had, like like they could have done this and it would have been better. They could have done this with Uta and it would have helped a lot better. You know, basically Gordon's decision to not destroy Top Musica is like the biggest slap in the face of like, so that's why we're here right now. That's why this is happening, because one guy didn't decide to rip up some music papers. I'm like, okay.
Couldn't bring himself to rip up some music that summons Satan.
Yeah, exactly. So I would probably give it, do you have to do 5 or out of 10? Cause like, I don't know.
If you want to do 10, just, you know, do what you do and then have it.
All right. There you go. Okay. Well then in that case, it's 4 out of 5, traumatized Utas, I guess. four out of 5, trucker mushrooms that like stim you crank that keeps you awake at night. That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's really good, and I would probably, you know, it's very familiar with me right now, but I would definitely watch this again, more so than I would Stampede or something. Yeah,
absolutely. I was kind of disappointed that I couldn't find a better stream than I could today. Like, I was actually looking forward to sitting down and
they've been really good at getting stuff out relatively quickly, so it should be available on Blu-ray, on English DVD, and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I appreciate you coming on to talk about this with
me. Thanks for having me on, man. I love to come on your podcast anytime.
Let me look up something real quick. I want to shout out the guy that requested this.
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
That's what made me think about it. Here we go. I don't know if I'm going to say this right, but Higron, I really appreciate you making this happen, because honestly, without you, I probably wouldn't have thought to do this. I always like having taking on, but you know, I don't like to hit people up constantly for stuff, although maybe I should.
Oh no, it's fine. I mean, we haven't talked in like a year and a half, Rick. It's okay.
It's true.
It's like you get well, one, you know, a year, one a year. All right. You waited until the very end, so we could do this next week if you wanted to.
All right, let's watch some more Bleach. We'll do that.
We'll do that. Yeah, we'll do Fade to Black next time, the one I've actually seen. All right.
There you go. I appreciate you being on, and this was a blast. Everyone, go check out Tekking's channel. Go check out his Bleach channel as well, especially if you're into Bleach. Like,
yeah,
that's
Bondcast.
The big thing right now.
It's called that. Yeah, Bondcast.
Okay, yeah. Check out the Bondcast. And we always appreciate hearing from you on our Twitter at OpinionCast. If you request some stuff, we will do it, obviously. You can also hit us up on our email at opinionedmoviereviews@gmail.com. Leave us a rating on Spotify if you can. That is a big help to us in the algorithm. And until next time, we're opinionated. Thanks for listening.